Jim Packard sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. We just finished talking about great Wisconsin towns. Now we're going to talk about great Wisconsin cheeses. And here with me is Heather Porter Engwall, Director of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. It's a pleasure to see you, Heather.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And the illustrious cheesemaker Sid Carr, fourth generation master cheesemaker and the owner of Carr Valley Cheese Company of Laval, Wisconsin, established in 1902. Carr Valley has claimed more than 120 awards in both national and international contests. It's known for its signature-aged cheddars and increasingly now for its mixed milks varieties and Wisconsin originals. And you can find more about that at carrvalleycheese.com. Sid, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Certainly. Glad to. Heather was here about a month ago and got a tremendous reaction when she offered to send people a map of Wisconsin that has some significant cheese locations on it. Talk about that.
Yes. Well, we just recently updated our America's Dairyland Traveler's Guide to Wisconsin map, and this year we're focusing on all cheese-related things, cheese retail stores, cheese-making facilities, and it's a guide for people to travel around the state and visit some of our great cheese-making places.
And how can they obtain that?
You can go to our website and ask for a copy, which is wisdairy.com/map, and you can fill in your name and address, and we'll send you a map.
All right. It sounds great. And if you have questions or comments about Wisconsin's cheeses, all you have to do is call us in Madison at 263-1890 or toll free at 800-642-1234 as we talk with Heather and Sid. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board has this Traveler's Guide to America's Dairyland, and it's accompanied by a key to the map that lists about 116 cheesemakers and cheese shops in the state. So it's really a significant for people who travel around the state and would like to stop and pick up some unusual cheeses they may not have come across before.
That's right. And there's also on the cover of the map different tips from the historical points of Wisconsin. So they'll get to learn something as they read the map as well.
Mm-hmm. The number in Madison is 263-1890, and otherwise it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. I know, Sid, as a fourth-generation master cheesemaker, you've really grown up around the vats then.
That's absolutely right. I grew up in a cheese plant, and when you open the kitchen door, the vats were right out there, and it's a real cultural thing with me.
If you weren't a cheesemaker, what would you be?
Probably a cheesemaker.
Uh-huh. There's just no other life for you?
Well, when people ask my dad, who is 94 years old, they ask, well, what is Sid doing? Is he still making cheese? And he always responds, yes, he just doesn't know any better.
So your dad is still alive?
Yes, my mom and dad.
Uh-huh. He doesn't take part in the cheese making anymore, does he?
Well, he stopped working about 10 years ago. He thought that that was probably enough, but he still shows up to the plants and checks up on us to see that we're doing things right.
Mm-hmm. So you've got the plant in Laval, and you've got other locations around various parts of the state.
We have a plant in Laval, one in Mauston, and one in Fenimore. And then we have 7 retail locations. We have 2 retail locations in Mauston, of course, one at Fenimore, one at Laval. We have one here in Middleton. We have one in Wisconsin Dells and one in Sauk City.
Mm-hmm.
Which are all located on the map.
Yes, yes. And in there, the map also contains addresses, directions, phone numbers, websites, so that people can have an idea of what's going on at a particular location like yours, if they're interested in a particular kind of cheese, or just to find out what cheeses are available.
Sure. If they want to see cheese being made, they can come to Laval or they can come to Mauston. If they just want to purchase cheese or if they want to attend one of our cooking classes, that's at Sauk City. And that's all on the map.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it'll ever be possible for California to produce better cheese than Wisconsin?
Well, even though they have very happy cows, it seems like Wisconsin is always winning the awards. And this year at the World Contest, Wisconsin won 1/3 of the awards. Last year at ACS, I think Wisconsin won about 72 awards. California was somewhere around 40 or 50.
Mm-hmm. I know that Mark has a question for you, Heather. And Mark, go ahead.
Well, can't we come up with a commercial of a poor dairy cow going through an earthquake or something to combat those happy cow commercials?
Well, you know, we get a lot of ideas to combat those commercials from people all over the state. And, you know, while they're entertaining, we really believe that cows speaking French and talking amongst themselves in the pastures isn't really, you know, what we do here in Wisconsin. We're about milk and producing a quality product. So we really focus a lot of our attention on our award-winning traditions and also the more than 160 years of dairying and cheese making in the state. So we focus a lot in on the cheese and the great products that we produce here instead of being funny about the cows.
Well, we're the best, but I'd sure like to see some commercials that would come out in response to them.
Well, I think that in a sense, with their marketing, we are the target. And that should tell you something. And really, with the way that they are targeting their ads, they are really wanting to be like us here in Wisconsin.
But they can't be. Is that what you're saying? They may want to, but they can't be.
You know, every spring I attend a conference in Sonoma with about 20 of the California cheesemakers. And they have a lot of issues, regulation, water, encroachment by population. And so they really have some very serious issues. And dairying at the levels that are going on in California today are probably not sustainable into the future.
We're talking with Sid Carr, who's the owner of Carr Valley Cheese of Lavelle, and Heather Porter Engwall, who's Director of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Mark, thank you very much for your observation and your request. And let's go to Randy in Lavelle. Hello, Randy.
Yeah, hi. Say, good suggestion. If people are on their way between the Dells and the House on the Rock, good time to stop in and see Sid make cheese. You're right on the way. And we live here in Lavelle, used to be dairy farmers, and my adult children, when they come back, it's a regular stop, all their friends. Now, an early morning up, the house is empty, down to see Sid make cheese. Curds go all over the world, and it happens that they're in the military. We've made great friends. What is this cheese? There you've got an idea for a commercial. Oh, yeah, we grew up making, sending our milk there. It's in our community. This man still makes cheese. There's been some great worldwide friends made over that. An idea for a commercial.
All right, Randy, thanks very much. Appreciate hearing from you. Sid, let me ask you this. You were probably, the Carr Valley cheese probably originally was known for its aged cheddar.
Yes, it was. In 1902, the plant started further up the valley. And at first, it was just open seasonally. It ran during the summer. Mm-hmm. And there was a plant further down the valley that ran year-round. The Mueller family ran the plant for the most part, I think, about 60 or 70 years. There were a few other owners in there. And then when I purchased the plant in 1986, we continued the bandage wrap cheddar tradition. We continued the aged cheddar tradition and then took it from there to American originals and other artisan cheeses.
Mm-hmm. How long do you age your oldest cheeses?
Well, some of them we age out to 10 years, mm-hmm. but in the last few years, it's been very difficult to keep those cheeses in stock because 10 years ago we didn't know that we were going to sell this much.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to predict in another 10 years how much cheese we're selling. And so we have a lot of 6-year right now, some 8, but the 10 is mostly gone.
Mostly gone.
And Wisconsin's the only state that ages our cheeses out that old.
Well, we get some wonderful fruity, big flavors, and there's just really no other part of the country that has those flavors. Out in Vermont and New England, you get more of a sulfury, acid flavor.
And is it just from the grass? And
it's what the cattle eat.
It's what they're eating.
And the quality of milk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you also about milk prices and how that's figured into the retail price of cheese these days.
Well, we always try to pay our farmers as much as we can. And in our area around Laval, we have many small farmers. So we've been very aggressively paying here 4 or 5 years ago when the price was down around $8.80, $100. We were still paying $11 a hundred.
What's it up to now?
We're up around $21, $22 a hundredweight.
So how does that affect your pricing then in terms of going retail with the cheese?
We've had to make some price adjustments on our cheese, and it isn't not only the milk, but fuel to go out and pick up the milk, the cost of trucks to put the milk in, the cost of fuel to pasteurize, labor costs, health care, all those things. So sure, we're still a very profitable company, but unfortunately we have to raise our prices and make those adjustments so that we can grow and remain sustainable and profitable.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sid Carr of Carr Valley Cheese, one of America's finest specialty cheese plants. They, of course, have the traditional classics like the aged cheddar to award-winning American originals like Coco Cardona and Gran Canaria. I hope that I'm approximating what those pronunciations should be. And they turn milk into delivered fresh from local dairy farms into more than 50 delicious cheese varieties. And we'll talk more with Sid about cheese making and answer your questions about that. And we're also talking with Heather Porter Engwall, who is a director of national product communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. We talked about a map of Wisconsin that has about 116 cheese locations around the state on it, and it has a matching key that goes along with that. It's a great map, and it's gotten a lot of interest as people have been contacting wisdairy.com/map.
Yes.
To obtain a copy, that's all you have to do. We'll talk more about that in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today as we talk about great Wisconsin cheeses. Heather Porter Engwall is Director of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and you can find out about them and also obtain a map of cheese locations in Wisconsin, more than 100 of them. Go to wisdairy.com, and you'll find directions there. Heather, a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Sid Cook is a fourth-generation master cheesemaker and the owner of Carr Valley Cheese of Laval. And they're known for their signature aged cheddars and increasingly for mixed milk varieties and Wisconsin originals. Find out about them at carvalleycheese.com. And Sid, thank you so much for coming in, spending time with us today. Real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
You talked about some of the awards that Wisconsin had won in the most recent cheese competition about a month ago in Madison at Monona Terrace, correct?
Yes, and actually the awards will be handed out tonight.
Oh, they will, at a banquet?
Yes, tonight is the awards banquet.
Are you up for anything?
Well, we won 8 awards. We're very pleased with that. And this year they counted 4th place, and we won 3 of those. We won 1 first, 3 seconds, 1 third, and 3 fourths. So we had
what did you get your first for in this competition?
It was the Coco Cardona.
And talk about that as a cheese.
The Coco Cardona is a goat milk cheese that we make from very fresh goat milk, and so it does not have a typical goat milk flavor note. It's very sweet, and then we coat the outside of it with cocoa, and the alkalinity in the chocolate sweetens up the flavor of the cheese, and it's a very beautiful cheese.
And you've got the Gran Canaria. What's contained in that?
The Gran Canaria is mixed milk. It's made with sheep, goat, and cow milk blended together. It's aged for 2 years, and it's marinated in Olio Carli olive oil.
So are these things you just dream up, have a dream at night, and come down into the plant and start tinkering?
Absolutely. I just made them up. And that's
and they're turning out pretty well. And is this a growing sort of niche category for cheesemakers in Wisconsin, is to do the mixed milk sort of thing?
Well, the mixed milk is, as well as sheep milk, goat milk, and of course the standard is cow milk cheeses that mm-hmm. Wisconsin is so very strong in, and that's really why we have the opportunity to do these other things, because the dairy infrastructure here, the equipment that so many cheesemakers have, and just the number of cheesemakers here.
And the specialty cheese production has increased every year in Wisconsin. We're not only the leader in cheese production, but we're also the leader in specialty cheese production. So I think as consumers become more aware about the wonderful local products we have and their palates increase and are more defined, there's definitely more of a need and demand for specialty products.
You brought along a couple of cheese to samples, and one of them is an aged cheddar. Talk about how long this has been aged. And
well, I brought the 6-year-aged cheddar along, and you'll find that when it goes in your mouth, it'll have a nice creamy mouthfeel, and you'll taste it very far back in your mouth. You get a lot of fruitiness and a very long, lingering flavor to it.
Indeed. And Lynn in Sand Creek has a question about aging cheese. And so, Lynn, go ahead.
I've got a comment and a question. The question is about aging cheddar. If you buy, say, 2-year-old cheddar wrapped in wax in the store and leave it in that wax, can you put it in your refrigerator for 3 years and end up with what would be 5-year-aged cheddar? Will it age in your own refrigerator?
Well, yes, you would, but you want to be very careful where you put it in your refrigerator, because it needs to be in an area that would be about 70% humidity. You would want to make sure that it was very cold, about 36 to 38 degrees, and you would want to turn the cheese every 6 months. So it's not a given that it's going to age out like you think that it might. But the other thing, too, is many cheeses, if they're in wax, they could be packaged a number of different ways. They could have cheesecloth underneath if it is a round piece like a gem or a favorite. Or they could have a saran underneath and then waxed over, or it could be waxed right over the cheese. So it sort of depends on what cheese you're buying and trying to age.
Oh, okay.
What would work the best then in that case?
Well, I think a bandage wrap, like a 3-pound gem, would be best aged in a fridge, because it can breathe. It's going to breathe through the cheese, whereas if it's wrapped in saran, it's going to age inside of itself. So if there's any, and I mean this in a good way, a volatile flavors that are coming off of that, they're going to stay inside the wrap.
Mm-hmm. Rather than go out into the rest of the foods.
Go out and being able to breathe.
Lynn?
Yeah, I'd also like to mention we've got a great cheese factory up here in Comstock called Blazer's. I think it's called Blazer's Cheese. I found them last summer. They have a lot of flavored cheeses. I just bought one today, roasted garlic, tomato, and basil. And they have it in Sam's Club. I was surprised at what I would think of as a small specialty cheese factory in our part of the state would be selling in Sam's Club. But it's great cheese. They've got all sorts of different flavors, and I really like it.
Well, surprisingly, this is what's happening. The big companies are finding out about the great cheeses here in Wisconsin. And there are many small plants that are selling cheeses in Sam's Club, Costco, Whole Foods, different very large organizations all over the country.
And a lot of the flavored cheeses also use Wisconsin products. So the cranberries and the different flavor, and maybe the garlic,
yes,
are all,
yes,
coming from Wisconsin as well.
Yes.
And is the cheese plant that he mentioned, is that on the map?
It is, yes.
Okay. Lynn, thank you very much. We appreciate hearing from you. And let's go to Kevin next in Deerfield. Hi, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to let your guests know that I'm a big fan of the dairy industry. I've been a big dairy product consumer for many years. I actually have a farm and raise some dairy cattle, replacement heifers.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, I developed a lactose intolerance, which is, you know, kind of depressing. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions for me, and specifically, would there be any difference with the goat or the sheep milk cheeses?
Well,
any other suggestions would be appreciated.
Well, yes, there would be. That would be an area to try. But I think first, if you try cow milk cheeses that are aged, because the lactic cultures that are in them consume the lactose and convert it into lactic acid. So it might not be lactose that you have the allergy to. So I would try very aged cheeses first, made of cow milk. Then, of course, onward in the adventure, you could try some aged sheep milk cheeses, aged goat milk cheeses, or some mixed milk cheeses. But if you're going to do that, try them in a very small amount and see how it's going to affect you, and just take it easy with that, because dairy products are very important in your diet. But a cheese like our bread cheese or Fingusto or some of the fresh cheeses where the lactose has not been consumed by the culture and converted into lactic acid, those you would probably have more of an allergy to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I should certainly appreciate that. We do buy lactose-free milk, and that makes a big difference for me. And I actually sometimes have a little soy milk, too, and sometimes mix the two. But I've never come across lactose-free cheese or anything like that. But I'll try the aged cheeses. One other question. The cocoa goat milk cheese that you won the award for, is that available anywhere?
Yes, it is. We have a store in Middleton, which would be very close for you. It would be also available at the Milwaukee Public Market if you were going that way, or Larry's Brown Deer Market would have it.
Metcalf's here in Madison?
I don't know. Whole Foods here in Madison may have it. You could give them a call and see.
Sure. Great.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. We appreciate hearing from you. The number for you to call to talk to Sid Cook or to Heather Porter Engwall is 263-1890 in Madison, or 800-642-1234. Sid, another of your cheeses that you brought along today has a little peppery taste to it.
We do a chipotle cranberry cheddar, and it has a great flavor profile. It starts out nice and cheesy, and then you get the sweetness of the cranberry, and then the smokiness from the chipotle, and then the heat comes on.
I was glad you're going to add heat there, because I wondered if it was just me or if I was having a hot flash. Terry in Montford, let's give you a call. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm actually on a cheese, wine, and beer finding tour right now.
Uh-huh. Where are you?
I'm in Montfort.
Uh-huh.
At the Farmers...
Wisconsin Farmers Union.
There we are.
Great.
Wisconsin Farmers Union. And I started out in Monroe on Tuesday morning.
And you've gotten that far.
Well, you know, you have to stop and talk to people. You have to have, it's about relationships.
So have you been enjoying the blue and gorgonzola cheese at Montfort?
I just bought some right now. I've been stepping at cheese places and buying what they're known for and scoping out the tour for my gal friends this summer.
Uh-huh.
And having a fun time.
I bet.
Where does your trip take you next?
To Highland, to the winery. And what started this was the Dairylands old, I guess it's old because their new one doesn't have the wineries and the breweries on it. And I love all of that, and my friends love all of that, and I said, let's do a wine and cheese taste and brewery tasting tour this summer. And they said, fine, you plan it. So I'm on my vacation, and I only had my health to take care of, and I didn't want to do that. So this has been much more fun.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I would recommend that you get to Laval or to one of the other plants. Fenimore would be right on your tour, I understand.
Yes, and getting up to Sauk City.
All right.
And that area by tonight. So
it sounds great.
It's been a lot of fun. I recommend it to everybody just to kind of do one of those day trip or weekend trips.
It sounds great. Terry, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. You get that kind of tourist wandering in on a cheese tour, Sid?
We have many guests from all over the country and all over the world. We had a gentleman from Mexico that came to the Laval plant the day before yesterday and left with $100 worth of cheese that he's taking back to Mexico.
He's taking back to Mexico?
Yes.
How is he doing it?
I didn't ask.
And I have another idea for that caller, actually. Sid just recently built a beautiful culinary center where he brings in chefs from all over the country to teach cooking classes. So while they're here on their vacation, they might want to add a cooking class to their,
sure,
their trip.
They could check out our website and sign up for a class online.
All right. Thanks very much. Let's go to Karen in Portage next. Hi, Karen.
Hello. I am on a perpetual quest to find a cheese that I grew up with as a child. My father was born in Germany, and he used to go down to Chicago and get this from the deli, and it was called Liederkranz. It's a very soft cheese. It came wrapped in foil in about 3x4 package, give or take, and it has an odor that will make Limburger blanch. And the last I had heard a number of years ago, there was one person who made it, and they were going out of business, and General Foods had bought the recipe. And I'd never heard anything of it since.
Sid?
The story goes something like that. Actually, I think it was a Borden's plant out in Ohio or someplace out east, and they were making Liederkranz there, and they decided that they were going to modernize and move the plant somewhere else. And when they did that, they were never able to make the same cheese because of the Brevi bacteria that was surface curing that cheese. And so that's one thing here in Wisconsin with the cheesemakers. Joe Widmer up at Teresa, Wisconsin, and Myron Olson down in the Monroe area, they both have cellars that they're doing the Brevi smear and doing a brick-type cheese, and then Myron does the Limburger, and as well at Rothkäse in Monroe, they're using that type of smear. We have four cheeses that we do that type of smear with, and I think that you would be very happy with our Benedictine, which is a mixed milk cheese that has a lot of a fruitiness, floral. It has a Brevi smear, and it is a little stinky.
Now, this was not a little. This would knock your socks off. Every time you open the refrigerator, it just kind of passed out. So it's called a Benedictine.
You could try our Benedictine, or as well, you might buy some
really old Limburger.
Limburger, and then put it in your refrigerator in a place where it's going to be very humid, like in the vegetable drawer, and age it out another 6 or 8 weeks if you can take it, because it will get smelly in there.
Okay, so no one is actually making the actual...
Liederkranz is a name that is trademarked. And whoever owns that trademark has not been able to make that.
And if they can't make it, then they're not selling it.
And if they can't make it, they can't sell it because they're not able to make the cheese like it was traditionally made.
Thanks very much, Karen, and good luck for you in your search for the ideal cheese. We're talking with Heather Porter Engwall and Sid Cook about great Wisconsin cheeses. And let's go to Jim in Green Bay. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Say, I got to ask this question. I hope it doesn't sound gross, but can you eat the mold on cheese?
Sure, you can.
I've been doing it for years, and I haven't died, so I'm just... People keep saying, oh, you can't do that, but it tastes good to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like with blue cheese, it is blue molds in there. Now, some of the molds that would be growing on the outside of cheeses might not be the best for you because we don't know what those molds are. It could be growing on there from your refrigerator. So some of those molds could be harmful. You can take that chance and do that if you know it doesn't bother you and it hasn't in the past. But generally, if my cheese is molding in the fridge, then I'll just clean the knife and then make another cut and clean the knife again.
What I do is I just scrape the outside and then have whatever's in the middle, I eat that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And there are actually some cheeses that we grow molds on the outside to cure them because traditionally we didn't have wax, we didn't have Cryovac packaging, we didn't have a way to keep the molds off and keep the cheeses clean. And so back in those days, we allowed the molds to grow on the bandage and we would wipe them down with apple cider vinegar and water and turn them and actually encourage the mold to grow to have a coating or a packaging out on the outside of the cheese. And we're doing that today. Those molds are edible, but it's like when the wine sommelier comes and opens the bottle of wine, you don't necessarily smell the cork. You know, it's with some people, they like the molds, and some people don't.
All right, Jim, there you have your answer. And Alberta in La Crosse, let's go to you next. Hi.
Oh, yes, Liederkranz. That was one of my mother's favorites. I'm wondering, in the 30s and 40s, I wonder if you went online for Liederkranz, if you know, you could find that. But what I was calling about is at the information centers along the highway, I-90 especially, or any of the places or the little cities that have information booths during the summertime, why can't they give away a little bag of cheese curds or samplers of cheese? You know, I think that would be so nice because Florida gives away orange juice and each state kind of, you know, promotes something. And even a glass of milk, a small little glass of milk, I know. Our kids are growing up, and we are traveling to Wisconsin. We always stopped for the curds, and that kept them quiet, and they just loved that rubbery chewing that they did with it.
Heather, do we do cheese tastings at the information centers?
We don't, but that's a great idea. We do actually, though, offer the map and recipes and some different brochures and guides about the state and the products, but I've never heard of anyone offering cheese or milk.
Most of the plants that are on the map do sampling.
Mm-hmm.
We do sampling in all of our stores and locations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give it away because we can't. Cheese is very expensive, mm-hmm. and it's very expensive for us to produce. And if we would just give little packets of cheese away, we wouldn't be in business very long. But we do have sampling there where people can taste. They're not obligated to buy. But they do because they like the cheeses. And most of the places, most of the factories and stores on the map are doing sampling, active sampling and passive sampling.
Mm-hmm. And again, for people who would like to get the map, they can stop at the information centers. They're available there. Or they can mm-hmm. go online in the next minute or two. And what would they do, Heather?
Just right at our homepage, wistdairy.com. You can order a map and then go travel around the state and sample some wonderful cheeses.
Alberta, thank you so much. Marty has a question, and Hubertus. Marty, what's your question?
Hi. I grew up in Wisconsin with yellow cheddar. I have a friend who grew up in New England with white cheddar, says that the cheddar in Wisconsin is dyed.
Well, we're running out of time, so let me ask the question of Sid.
Well, we started making cheeses for the British market in the late 1800s, and they required that there be color in because rich summer milks had carotene in, and so it would kind of dye the milk more of a yellow color. It's gone from a little bit is good to a lot is really good. And so when the markets changed from Great Britain to Chicago, we made colored cheddar here in Wisconsin. It's not dyed, it's annatto, which is a natural coloring.
Tasteless, odorless.
Yeah.
Thanks to both of you for being here today. Time has flown. We've appreciated. And we'll again talk in the future about great Wisconsin cheeses. Our guests, Heather Porter Engwall, Director of National Product Communications for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. And you can get the map of Wisconsin's cheese locations at wisdairy.com. And Sid Cook is the owner of Car Valley Cheese Company of Laval. They have their plants and their many retail locations, and you'll find them on the map as well. Or go to carvalleycheese.com to find out more about the kind of work that Sid is doing. Again, thanks to both of you for being here today. Steve Williams, our on-air producer. Tomorrow we'll be talking with the Vicars of Vegetables, Jim Dienhuis and Irwin Goldman, on Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.